You've done so many things. How would you like to be remembered when people look back on your life?
Well, you know, one of the things I'm sort of proud of is that I don't think I ever did something that was unethical. And I was raised, I don't know what it was, but Scottish, German, whatever it was. No one ever talked about cutting corners. I'm sure they were no better than anybody else, but no one ever talked about cheating on taxes and all this kind of business. And I had all those bankruptcy cases, and the temptation in those bankruptcy cases was just huge. So many of these people either got tempted to do things they shouldn't and didn't get away with it, or they got tempted to do things they shouldn't do and did get away with it. One of my wife's friends, we was talking about these bankruptcy trustees getting all this money and inside deals and so forth, and he said, well, Dobie did that, didn't he? And my wife said, of course he didn't do that. So I look back at 50 years of practicing law and so forth, and, you know, I took all kinds of cases. I don't have anything I'm really ashamed of. And so ethically, I feel good about that. The chance of making money by treading the line pretty close is pretty easy. And I never did that. And I'm proud of that. And, of course, I have all sorts of little things you're proud of, you know, like your athletic prowess when you were a kid and all that kind of business. Some of those things. My family, I'm proud of.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact is you're not going to be remembered. I mean, you just might as well forget it. You know, Walt Helmrich, as much as he did for Tulsa, and he really has been a great Tulsa citizen, how long will Walt Helmrich be remembered except by his family?
We should point out here, since this will be heard years later, Walt Helmrich, 88 years old, just died 2 days ago. His funeral will be tomorrow, as a matter of fact. It contributed largely to our community in major, major ways. The Helmrich name will still be there because it is on buildings, it is in museums and that type of thing, but beyond that...
Yeah, and of course he has a lovely wife who will perpetuate it for a while, and
right.
He has a bunch of kids, and he has a business and so forth.
Right.
But Walt Helmrich would probably be about as good an example as anyone in town as someone who will be remembered. I mean, he has a name on a corporation, but by and large it's pretty ephemeral. Anyone who really wants to be remembered for a long time is probably putting his eggs in the wrong basket.
All right. Well, you've done a great job, and you've been a great storyteller. I want to thank you for giving us this time. Very interesting. Students will be interested in it. General public will be. No question about it. Your story now can be preserved in this oral history fashion.
Well, I've never been accused of being anything other than garrulous. And this is sort of dream come true for someone to come in and tape record a long description of your own life. I mean, you don't really have that much opportunity to talk about your own life. And to be able to do so is wonderful. And I just think of all the wonderful stories I didn't get a chance to tell. In fact, my friends, I always say, do you want to hear the greatest sports story in the history of America? And they say, of course, yes. And I say, well, I was a little boy down in Seminole, and I played on the B team. And if you scored a lot of points on the B game, the coach would let you suit up for the A game. Now, you didn't have a warm-up. They didn't even let you shoot before the game. You just sat there. So I didn't shoot before the game, and I didn't have a warm-up, and I sat there. And I remember the gym was just as cold as it could be. Seminole playing Bristow in February. Dread gym was drafty, and I was cold. My sweaty uniform had cooled off, and I sat there the whole game, never got in, didn't shoot at the halftime, so I was just totally, and with about 20 seconds to go, this coach, his name was Don Slagle, I always loved this guy, Don Slagle never knew anybody's name, he called all the Indians on the team chief, and everybody else was, hey you, and we were about half Indians down there, so he points to me, he said, you, get in there, and I remember exactly who he sent me in for, a guy by the name of Hamet Atayu, who must have been Middle Eastern, Arabic name in Seminole, later killed in an oil field accident. But anyway, I went in for Hamet Atayu, and I looked up at the clock, and the clock was one of these clocks that when it was a minute to go, it turned green, and when it was 10 seconds to go, it turned red. So I ran out on the floor. We were doing a man-to-man, and I started trying to guard my man. I hadn't been in the game 15 seconds, and the clock turned red, meaning we had less than 10 seconds. So I decided to run for the ball, and the guy who was dribbling the ball took his eye off of me. I took the ball on a full run, and realizing I didn't have very much time, I dribbled across the center line of the court and let fly with the first shot I'd shot in about 2 hours. Of course, it swished.
Was the score tied when you came in, or was it a point behind? Or?
We were a point behind. As a matter of fact, I was allegedly fouled. They got me back out of the dressing room where I had gone, cleared the floor, and I had a free throw to shoot. Now, why they would do that, but anyway, I walked up, I had a free throw, and I made the free throw. So I had 3 points that year. I had shot one field goal, one free throw, made them both, and played less than 30 seconds. And I say, that's the greatest sports story ever known to man. People ran out on the floor to celebrate. And then later that night, there was a fight, and a kid got knifed. I mean, it wasn't critical, but he was knifed. This was a rumble between Bristow and... Bristow at that time was a pretty big town, bigger town. So the next morning in the Seminole papers, there was a big headline that says, substitute wins game. And they didn't have my name because I wasn't on the... I wasn't on the program. I would love so much to have that newspaper. So the coach lettered me that year. That coach was transferred to Tulsa Central the year I went to Tulsa Central. When he found out that I was at Tulsa Central, he put his arm around me and walked me down to Ehlers and says, put this guy on your team, he'll win ball games for you. And that's the reason I was able, in a school of 1,000 students, just getting on the basketball team was really difficult. Coach Slagle put his arm around me and said, this boy will win ball games for you. He was a wonderful coach. He also coached baseball. I was a pitcher for him. Anyway, enough of that.